Amen. Thank you very much. My name is Chris Martinez, and I'm the guy who my wife and I, she's around here. There she is in the front row. We moved here about 20 months ago, and we didn't know anyone. And so it looks like we made some more new friends today. So welcome. We moved here from Missouri. Now, to make this as confusing as possible, I'm from Miami, but I helped a friend start a church in Missouri. And while we were in Missouri starting that church, which is nothing like Miami, God spoke to us and said, you need to go to South Carolina. We didn't know anybody here, but we packed up our four kids and we moved here because we felt God called us here. And that was about 20 months ago. And since that time, we've met some friends, we've made some more friends, and we just want to lift Jesus high because Jesus is worth it. We believe this Jesus stuff, and Easter is obviously Resurrection Day, my favorite holiday, to come and talk about the resurrected Christ. And I just want to know, you're helping me fulfill a little dream. I work full-time downtown, and when this place opened, I was driving back on that road out there, and I saw a bunch of cars out here and some tents, and I said, wouldn't it be cool to fill that place up and worship Jesus Christ? Well, we're not 100% filled, but we're pretty close. So praise God, because Jesus is worth it. Is he not? Is it not amazing that we can come here? You know, some of our brothers over there in Egypt, you know, they just had some bombings. One of the oldest churches in the world, about 2,000 years old, there were some bombings. And there's a somber attitude for them. Even in their churches, they're not safe. They have guards and things like that. But we came out here in the middle of town, and we can raise our hands, and we can sing a song, and we could talk about the resurrected Savior. And that's what today is all about. In your worship guide, we had a screen ordered, and I thought I was going to get a good deal. It was going to be about 11 foot wide, and it was going to be bright enough for the sun. And I really wanted it. I thought it would be cool. But they were going to charge us a little bit more than we, not that we didn't have in the bank, because we have it in the bank, but I just couldn't spend money on that. So we printed this out, so I hope you're okay with that, so we can use God's money in other places. It would have been cool, but it's God's money, so we wanted to be wise. But right here in Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 8, it's one of my favorite explanations of the day after, or the day that Jesus rose from the dead. It says, on the first day of the week, early at dawn, they went to the tomb, taking spices they had prepared. They is talking about the women. The women were the first ones to go and put their necks on the line to take care of the body of Christ. And when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he's risen. Remember how he told you when he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered in the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise?" And they remembered his words. Right there, I just want to say a prayer. We read some scripture, and is it all right that we pray in church? Father God, we just invite you here. We welcome you here, and we acknowledge that you're here because you're everywhere. You said where two or three are gathered, you're in our midst. And Jesus, we believe that you're alive, so we believe that you're here. And nobody needs to hear from me, but we all need to hear from you. So come and speak and do what you do in Jesus' name. Right there, as I thought about the resurrection of Christ, there's a question there, and it says, why do you seek the living among the dead? The women had gone to the tombs, because that's where you put a dead body. You put it among the tombs. And so picture early in the morning. Nobody's happy early. Very few people are happy early in the morning. Early in the morning, they go out to the tombs. They've got the spices. They've got the embalming materials. And they're going to wrap up and care for the body of their Savior, of their best friend, of the one who they love. And they get there and they don't find him. They were already not in a good mood. They were already depressed and already broken. And they get there and they don't find him. And then the angels, or the two men dazzling, they ask them a question. They say, why do you seek the living among the dead? I want to tell you one thing that I know about the Lord. When he asks a question, this wasn't the Lord, but this is true about the Lord. When he asks a question, he is not trying to learn something. He is trying to teach something. The angels knew why they were there. It was plain. It wasn't like the angels are big dummies. The angels weren't like, duh, why are you here? They knew why the women were there. They were there with the embalming materials, the spices and the ointments. It was clear. But they wanted to show them something. They asked him a question. They said, why are you looking for someone who's alive among all this death? The same exact thing that you and I do today. We look for life among things that are dead. And we can't do that because there is only life in the one who is alive, and that's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is what the story is about. See, we believe this with all my heart. I believe that he rose again. I believe that the disciples saw him, and over 500 people saw him, and they testified that he really died, and he really rose again. A few things about the resurrection that many of you have heard, but I just want to tell you in case some people haven't, is the Romans knew how to kill people. Don't get it twisted. If you are going to rule the world with a sword and not an airplane, without satellites, without machine guns or nuclear weapons, if you're going to rule the world with a sword and a spear, you know how to make sure people are dead. It's not like you're like, oh, oops, sorry, thought he was dead. No, they knew how to kill a body. And they knew how to test, and they did that to Jesus on the cross. He was brutally beaten, hung on a cross, and checked by some of the best executioners in history. We can't even fathom that that's just how they handled crime back then, and they knew what they were doing. So yes, he was dead, and he was placed in a tomb. Some people say, well, how do we know the disciples weren't lying? Chuck Colson, who was involved in Watergate, he said, 12 of the most powerful people in the world couldn't keep a lie for 3 weeks. When the Watergate scandal happened, and I'm supposed to believe that these 12 fishermen held on to a lie for 40 years as they preached about a man they knew had really not risen? Like, if the disciples had made it up, somebody was going to let them in on the fact. People would just give up. They were stoned, they were tortured, they were murdered, they were starved, they were run from their homes, and they're going to do it for a lie, not for 40 years. I'm convinced they saw something. Well, the other question is, maybe he didn't die. Maybe he didn't. The Romans knew what they were doing, but let's just pretend that he didn't die. And let's just pretend that he woke up after a few days. How many of you would give your life for a limping, staggering, bloody pulp telling you, no, I'm resurrected for real? No, guys, believe me, I rose from the dead, and he's oozing, and he's pussy, and no, they saw a live body, someone who's healed, whose scars were there, but he was healed. There was no pus dripping. There was no gasping of breath. He was strong, and he was alive, and they saw him. They saw him. He's alive, and he's active right now. See, it's not just that he was alive 2,000 years ago. He is alive. Like right here in this place, in my life, in my family, and in your lives, like he is real and he wants to be real. He wants to be your life. He wants to be your life. Jesus, he has several questions in Scripture. That first one we read is, why do you seek the living among the dead? And if you're seeking for life among things that don't give life, you'll never find it, obviously. If you're looking for him anywhere else, I mean, life will get boring. Money won't satisfy you. It won't. Thank God I had some family members. I'm not wealthy. I have a house. I have a job. I have 4 kids, so that means we're broke. All right? Air broke last night. The AC unit went out. It was 82 degrees upstairs in my house. Praise Jesus. He's letting me know the fires of hell so I could be excited about today or something. But you know what? We opened up the window and thank God it's okay. We survived. I'm not complaining. But I've had family members who I can remember, one that was really wealthy, sitting across from him when I was young and admiring how much money he had, because he had the boats, he had the cars, he had the remote control boats, the remote control helicopters. And this was in the 80s when that cost a lot. This was not like go buy a drone for $100. This was like back when I was little in the 80s when that was expensive and it was rare. And he looked at me over lunch one day and he took a $100 bill and he blew his nose in it. And with his eyes completely dead, without any life, threw it on the floor because he knows that that doesn't make him happy. He had worked so hard to get there, but that wasn't it. Why do we seek life among death? There's no life in that. There's only life among life in Christ. Now, maybe you don't search for money like that. Maybe that's not your God, but it's very easy for us to search in something that is not Christ. Another question that Jesus asked, this is a question that Jesus asked. He said, they asked him, they said, Jesus, is it lawful to pay taxes? They're trying to trick him. Everybody's trying to trick Jesus, all the religious leaders. And they said, and you guys remember this story. They said, Jesus, should we pay taxes or not? Now, granted, tax day is in a couple days after church. Guess what I get to do? Praise God. I went home, I filled it out. I don't get a refund, I have to pay stuff, so forget that. I'm waiting to the last minute. Amen? Give to Caesar, Jesus, he gave him that teaching. He said, give to Caesar what Caesar's, and then I add on, but not a penny more. Amen? And not early. So I'm talking about taxes. He goes there, and Jesus says, they try to trick him. They're trying to say, should you pay taxes, should you not? Because Jerusalem was under control of Rome, and they're trying to cause some controversy there. And Jesus says, show me a coin. Whose image is that? Remember that story? Whose image is that? And they said, well, it's Caesar's. And Jesus says, well, give to Caesar what's Caesar's, but give to God what's God's. And we miss that because we think it's just about taxes. The coin has Caesar's image, so yes, we pay taxes because that is who makes our money and they provide certain things for us. But do you know whose image you bear? Do you know whose image you bear? You bear the image of the living God created in his image. Very special in his sight. Jesus wants you to know, yes, you give to Caesar's what is his, but don't you give to God what's God's? See, our lives are not our own. We were created for a purpose. We were created for something more than just to get a few dollars, to watch a few movies, maybe go out on the lake and then go to work Monday morning. Like that, we were created for more than that. We were created in God's image to be image bearers. And I want you to know that. Another question Jesus asked. He asked his disciples, he said, who do you say that I am? Or who do people say that I am? His disciples were talking, and there was a lot of talk about who is Jesus, because he rolls into town, and I mean, he had crowds following him. The dead are being raised, the blind are seeing, the deaf are hearing, leprosy's going away, the man's walking on water, and he's like, all right, so who do people think I am? And they're like, well, a prophet or maybe John the Baptist. And they start naming these names because nobody really knows who Jesus is. And then he asks them a question. He says, well, who do you say that I am? And Peter says, I say you're the Christ. You're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Like, we need to know that he is the Christ, the one sent by God, died for us. Died for us. Like, that is the greatest story that is ever told, is when somebody dies for somebody else. I went through last night because it was 81 degrees in my house, and it was a little bit hard to fall asleep, and I looked at some movies. Do you know that all the best movies, someone is dying for somebody else? The first one I thought of was Jack on the Titanic. He gives her a spot on the door, and she can't even scoot over and just lets him drive. It looked like a really big door. They pan out, and I'm like, but he did. He gave up his life for her. The next one I thought about was Baymax. Remember Baymax? If you're a kid, Baymax, it seems like Baymax is going to die. It's a movie about a robot, so if you're over 20, don't worry about this. But if you're under 20, Baymax gives his life to save his team. He shoots his glove, and we think this big robot is going to die, and I know watching it with my four kids. Back to the Future, Doc Brown distracts a terrorist so Marty can get away, and Doc Brown gets lit up. All right, that's a great movie, all right, for those of you from the 80s. There's always somebody who gives their life for somebody else. That's what makes a story good. Jesus was poured out so we could be full. On the back table over there, there's these cups. And they say filled with hope. And I'd love for you to take one. If you don't want one, that's okay. I ain't going to make you take a cup. But take one, enjoy it, coffee, tea, water, whatever. But I want you to think about how empty this cup is when you get it. Because it's empty. And the only way for this cup to get something in it is for somebody else or some other thing to be poured out. And like, that's the story of Christ. He emptied himself. He poured out his life. He became as nothing. He had it pretty good. He had it pretty good in it for eternity past. And he emptied himself, and though being in the form of God did not consider it something that he had to grasp onto and hold, he emptied himself and took the form of a servant, took the form of one of you and I, and took our place. You see, something had to die, and a lot of times we think about it just as God, Jesus taking our penalty, which is good. But you know it's more than that? Because it's like sin. I was like, how can I explain this? It's like sin released a poison in this earth. And it had to, it was going to kill someone. It wasn't a penalty. It was just the effect. Sin's effect is it kills. And it's like Jesus just came here and breathed it all in to clear the air. It's like you telling your little kid, and I think about my four little kids, especially that little guy right there playing with his tie. And you tell them to stay still, stay put, and they run off. And you say, stay out of the street, because you know what will happen. If he runs into the street and a car is coming, I'm going to take his place. I'm going to push him out the way. There's no greater love. He poured himself out so that you could be full. He gave his life so that you could live. The other question Jesus asked, he asked a question. He said, are you going to leave me too? Now, you may not know the story about when he asked that, but I'll give you the background. He said, are you going to leave me too? He looks at his disciples and said, are you going to leave too? And this happened when there was a great multitude following Christ. He just did the things with the loaves and the fishes, which is pretty awesome. He had done healings. He had done miracles, and we're closing up pretty soon. And he had walked on water, which out of all the things, that is awesome. All right, that would be one thing to see. And there's crowds following him, and he stands up in front of the crowds. And he says to them, he says, unless you eat the flesh and drink the blood of the Son of Man, you don't have any life in you. And the crowds were like, huh? Think about that. Huh? Unless you eat the flesh and drink the blood of the Son of Man, you have no life in you. And people were just kind of like, all right, party's over. All right, miracles are cool. Walking on water was awesome. But I don't get that. And the crowds left him. And that's when he looks at his disciples and he says, do you want to go too? And Peter, where are we going to go? You have the words of life. Peter was smart enough to know, I have no idea what you're talking about, but I need you, Jesus. And sometimes following Jesus is just like that. You don't understand exactly what he's saying, but you follow him in faith. Now, Jesus breaks it down, and he explains that his flesh was given for the world and his blood was shed for the world. And looking back from this side of the cross, it makes a whole lot more sense. But I was talking to a friend yesterday, and he said in that culture, they understood something that we don't. And he made a good point. So thank you, Caleb, wherever you're at. All right, back there. He said, you know, in that culture, they didn't buy all their food from the grocery store. When they were hungry, it was not, give me a Happy Meal, or I'll buy some frozen chicken. When they were hungry, they went outside, and an animal died. Or they went to the field, and a tree or a plant died. They understood that death brought life. And in Christ, death brings life. Like, he had to die. He had to take our place. He had to do this. And as we feed on him, as we feed on him as the bread of life, that's when we live. Following Jesus is awesome. And it brings life. But I got to ask you, is our culture's changing. Do you want to leave them too? Are you like almost half of the people in America? You don't have time. I don't have time. You have time to eat. Look at us. We all make time for what's important. Don't look at anybody too hard, all right? But all of us in here, I mean, like, the problem we have is not that we eat. It's just that we like to eat. We went on vacation this week, and it was just we ate and talked about what we were going to eat next. It's like, what are we going to eat next? I don't know. This is so good. Like, that's what we do. We love to eat. Do you love Jesus that much? Do you feed on him? Do you eat his flesh and drink his blood? Because he said that, not me. Like, he's the king, and when he says something, maybe we should listen. I'm just putting that out there. If he says, like, no, you should come to me and eat off of me, and I should be your life. I should be what brings your life. Is he what gives you life, or is he the side dish? The coleslaw that you're not going to eat anyway. No, you could put it on the plate, but no, I just want the chicken and the fries. Or is he it? If all we had was him, would it be enough? For me, I'll say yes. I don't know what would happen if things got really crazy, but I know I've given my life. You don't move 4 kids across the country unless you really believe this. And be like, you know what would be awesome? Let's work a full-time job with 4 kids and start a church. That just seems like a blast. I love you guys, but it's not easy. It's not easy. It's not hard, but it's worth it because I get to sit here today and tell you about the one that gives me life. So right now we're going to close. Worship team, if you want to come up here. We're outside, it's hot, but I promise you, you'll survive 2 more minutes. I want to give an opportunity because it's Easter, and I know there's people that you made a special effort just to come out because it's Easter, and I'm very grateful. I hope you have fun. I hope you feel loved and welcome. But my prayer, if you never come back to Lakeside Church, but you fall in love with Jesus, I'm happy. If you never see me again, but you leave here hungry for Christ, that's a win. If you leave here and you say, that guy was terrible, I hate him, and that worship team was, and I can't believe that. I hate that coffee cup. But you are excited about Jesus and something happened and you're just more in love with him. Good. Because it's not about me and it's not about the worship team and it's not about a coffee cup. It's about you and your maker. You and your maker, how is your soul? Is your soul starving? Have you fed on Christ? Have you let Christ be your life? I'm going to invite you to bow your heads right now. There are some people here that are very hungry. I know it. You wouldn't have come here to a place you didn't know to see people you've never met if you weren't hungry. And my prayer is that you find what you're looking for in him. And his name is Jesus Christ. Now, as those bells ring, it's dinner time. It's time for you to eat, to feed. So if you've come here hungry, if you've come here thirsty, Jesus has enough. There's more than enough. We might only have 5 loaves and 2 fishes, but Jesus makes it enough. So if you're hungry for more of God in your life, if you have not been feeding on Christ and you need to come home, if you know God is calling you, if there's pain and suffering and in your life, he is the hope of the world. He rose from the dead. He can handle your problem. Like he proved it. So if that's you today and you need prayer, I'd like to know who I'm praying for. Would you put your hand up right now? Thank you, God. There's no shame. There's no shame. There's an open table. God doesn't play favorites, and he's generous to all. Jesus is so generous. You may have come in here messed up and broken and hurting. You're in the right place. Because he's perfect. And he was broken so you could be made whole. And he was messed up so you could be put back together. Jesus, I invite you right now to touch every heart. Every person here that raised their hand, that admits that they're hungry, and that admits that they are broken and they need more of you. I ask you to fill and I ask you to heal in Jesus' name. If you would repeat this prayer with me, say, Heavenly Father. We can all say it together. Say, Heavenly Father, I'm hungry for you. Feed me. Help me to learn how to trust in Jesus. Help me to learn how to submit to his lordship. Heal me. Put my life back together. And make me full. In Jesus' name. Amen. When you came in today, you were given a communication card. If you'd like any more information about Lakeside Church or me, or you can talk about Jesus, fill that out. There's going to be some guys in the back. They'll have baskets. You can place those cards in the baskets. If you wanted to give an offering, you can, but if you don't want to, that's cool. It's not about that. It's about Jesus Christ. And on that card, if you'd like to get baptized, we'd love to know. Or if you have a prayer request, we have a prayer team that prays every week for people's needs. But if we don't know what they are, it's really hard to know how to pray. Other than that, would you stand with me right now? Is Jesus